following talk is a paid political broadcast. We now introduce Herbert S. Smith, campaign manager for Sheridan Donnie. Mr. Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 15 minutes, you will listen to Sheridan Downey, Democratic nominee for United States Senator. Mr. Downey has pledged his support to the General Welfare Act, and if elected to the United States Senate, will work towards its enactment. Sheridan Downey is deeply appreciative of the great help rendered him by the towns and organizations, particularly of the opportunity they have given him to use this, their regular broadcasting time. Mr. Downey will be heard nightly on various stations for the balance of the campaign. He particularly urges all veterans to listen to his broadcast of Wednesday, November 2nd, from 9:15 to 9:30 p.m. over another network. President Franklin D. Roosevelt's unqualified endorsement of the candidacy of Sheridan Downey, Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, is given in a letter received today by Congressman Jerry Voorhees of the 12th California District. The president's letter follows in full text. The White House, Washington. My dear Jerry, I have your letter and was much interested in what you have to say concerning the California situation. I am glad you have such a high regard for Sheridan Downey. My brief acquaintance with him and the many fine reports I have had convince me that you are right in this opinion. You know how deeply I feel about the necessity of having representatives in the Congress who will face present-day problems with present-day philosophy. I am convinced that Sheridan is a real liberal in mind and in heart, and would ably and constructively represent the predominant liberal thought of your state. It would be a calamity for California to be represented in the Senate by a dyed-in-the-wool reactionary. With all good wishes, very sincerely yours, signed, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Mr. Sheridan Downey will now address you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the California political campaign has entered its last week, and I am informed that my political opponents and the newspapers supporting them in the closing days of the campaign, when there will be no opportunity of reply, intend to publish false and misleading propaganda designed to deceive the voters of this state upon the true issues of the campaign. Indeed, I have been informed of the nature of some of the distortions and misrepresentations that are to be disseminated in the state, and any such attacks will be promptly met and fully answered, I am sure, to the satisfaction of the voters. I advert to this, my fellow citizens, only to prepare your minds for what our reactionary opponents are planning, and to ask you to carefully weigh any charges made against me and the other Democratic candidates during the coming week, and to withhold your judgment thereon in abeyance until an answer may be made to the people of this state. It is, of course, likely that the publicity agents of the Republican candidates may conclude that they will not attempt again to deceive the voters of the state by defamatory charges. I say this because the accusations recently made by Harper Knowles before the Dyes Committee that we were communistic have been so thoroughly discredited as to seriously damage the persons who conspired to issue them rather than the Democratic nominees against whom they were directed. Likewise, you will also remember that about 10 days ago, a single distorted sentence was filched from one of my books, Onward America. Upon that single distorted sentence were constructed hundreds of newspaper columns designed to show that I was a revolutionary. The absurdity and malice of this charge have been so thoroughly revealed to the people of the state that it is no longer being given publicity by my opponents, and its publication resulted in injury to the perpetrators rather than to myself. My reactionary opponent has also attempted to deceive my good Townsend friends into the belief that I have abandoned them, but my long and intimate association with the Townsend cause, my deep devotion to the General Welfare Act, and the support and the friendship of Dr. Townsend were a conclusive answer to this misrepresentation by my opponent. And likewise, I believe Mr. Bancroft failed in beguiling the Townsendites into a belief that he was sympathetic to the cause, for they were promptly informed that for many years he has been contemptuous and hostile to any kind of a pension program, and particularly to the Townsend plan. It is my opinion that, on the whole, the misleading propaganda published by our opponents has tended to injure our detractors rather than ourselves. It may therefore be that the publicity agents of the Republican Party will decide from now until election fairly to discuss the great issues that engage our attention rather than continue their campaign based upon personalities and misrepresentations. At least I hope that such will be the case, because my mind is preoccupied with the misery and the despair of great multitudes of our people, with the unhappy condition of our taxpayers, with the insecurity and losses of our farmers, with the problems of our businessmen, with the program of our veterans, and indeed with all the problems of this vast and complicated civilization, which must soon be solved if we are to continue a great and a growing people. In the discussion of political issues, I shall be broadcasting at least once every day from now until election. These broadcasts will be advertised, and I will deeply appreciate your listening in and suggesting to your friends that they do likewise. One of my broadcasts will be a resume of my entire political and economic program, and in that I will sum up my political philosophy with a full statement upon my attitude toward pensions and the General Welfare Act now pending in Congress. In three of my radio addresses, I will discuss my attitude toward the problems of the farmers, to whom I am deeply sympathetic, because I know full well the harassments and the difficulties that now afflict their lives. I shall discuss my commitment to the great public projects now pending in this state, including Shasta and Fryant dams and the other undertakings connected therewith, and that imperatively needed project in Los Angeles County designed to protect Los Angeles citizens against the danger of floods. And in this address, I will suggest to our people that Mr. Bancroft is associated with the utilities and the predatory interests who have long and still do bitterly resist the completion of the great valley projects, and that under their urging, he might seek to sabotage it if he were in the Senate of the United States. I have also suggested in this connection that Mr. Bancroft has no sympathy with or knowledge of the great flood control project now being constructed in Los Angeles County, and that if he should go to Washington, it is with the announced intention of opposing and fighting the President of the United States. We may well assume he would be of little value to the County of Los Angeles in this matter, or in any other state project involving federal cooperation. On the other hand, as I shall tell you in later speeches, it will be my consistent effort to work harmoniously with the administration to the end that California shall achieve the greatest possible good from federal activities. During the week, I shall direct one appeal, particularly to the women of California, and to matters affecting them directly, including the problem of war or peace. And I shall express to them my inflexible determination to do everything within my power, if elected to the Senate, to prevent the catastrophe of another great American conflict. And I shall pass on to them a personal message received from President Roosevelt in which he expressed his bitter antipathy toward war's devastation. I have long been committed to the cause of our war veterans and our ex-servicemen. I vigorously supported the Veterans Adjusted Compensation Act and have always believed there is still a heavy debt due from our nation to our ex-servicemen. And I shall devote an entire address to stating to our ex-servicemen, particularly my position upon the veterans program. During the coming week, the Democratic nominees will press their campaign in Northern California through large mass meetings. These will be advertised in the communities where they are being held, and all of us Democratic nominees will deeply appreciate your attendance. It is the purpose of the Democratic Party and of its nominees to express frankly and fully to the voters and people of this state our political principles and the objectives we seek. And we are anxious for our people to know what we are attempting to do. I hope, though, for it will be possible for many of my listeners to attend one of the great mass meetings of the Democratic Party that will be staged in Northern California this week. The election is just 1 week away. No political commitments or desires by any voter will be of value to himself or to his state or to any candidate unless they are expressed by a vote in the ballot box on November 8th. I deeply appreciate what my devoted and loyal friends and supporters have been doing in the interest of my candidacy throughout my campaign. I urge upon every supporter aggressive and continued work until the polls are closed on the evening of November 8th. We are confident that a splendid victory for liberalism is possible in the coming election, but only energetic and loyal work by all of us can guarantee that result. I therefore urge upon every Democratic leader, upon every person working in our organization, every supporter and every voter, that all energetic measures be initiated and pressed that may lead us to a noteworthy social triumph on Election Day. Good night and goodbye.
For the past 15 minutes, you have been listening to Sheridan Downey, Democratic nominee for United States Senator. Mr. Downey will be heard again on this same station next Monday night at this same time. During the balance of the campaign, Mr. Sheridan Downey will be on other stations nightly. Watch your daily newspaper for station announcements. Sheridan Downey wishes to express his thanks and appreciation to the Townsend Organization for relinquishing this, their regular broadcasting time, for the campaign's use. Don't forget this station next Monday night at this time for Sheridan Downey again. Keep tuned to this station for James A. Farley, who will broadcast immediately following this program.
The foregoing political talk was a paid broadcast. Captain Russell R. Hand, Executive Assistant to Dr. Francis Townsend, will be heard over these same stations at 10:30 o'clock tonight. We call your attention to this Townsend Plan broadcast at 10:30 tonight. This is the Mutual Donnelly Broadcasting System.
KHJ, Los Angeles. The world's most honored watch is Longines, product of the Longines-Witnauer Watch Company.